I'm struck by the words of that song about rising from waters deep into the saving arms of God. It's kind of hard for me to even sing that because it just hits me somehow. I don't know why. And folks who know how to speak Spanish might know the word brazos, what that means, like the river, what we call, most of us, Brazos. But does anybody know what the word brazos means? I see hands. Arms. Brazos. It's the Arms River, but the full name of it is the Rio de los Brazos de Dios, which is the River of the Arms of God. And I have no idea how it got that name, but that's what the Brazos River is all about. Well, Scripture describes God in a number of different ways, and maybe I could use the phrase word pictures without being too wild here. I just mean words of the Bible that help us to picture what God is like. God told Moses, "You can't look on me and live." So God shows himself to Moses and to us in part. And naturally, I think each one of us identifies with some of these pictures of God or descriptions better with some than we do others. And we wouldn't want to neglect any of them, but some of them just resonate with me more than others. And so I would ask this morning, where in Scripture do you understand God best? In Genesis 1, he is Elohim who speaks the creation into being. How do you like that? And Elohim said, "Let there be," and there was. Some of us really appreciate that. In Genesis 2, he is called Yahweh God. And he's not so much speaking as doing. He's a farmer, a craftsman, a builder. Yahweh God formed the man from the dust of the ground. Yahweh God planted a garden. He breathed into the man the breath of life. The man became a human being. Yahweh God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Some of us really appreciate that doing. In the Gospels, Jesus speaks of God as a heavenly Father. And that's very familiar to us. But we shouldn't overlook the fact that that was kind of new to Jesus' first century cousins. They did not read much of that in their Bibles of God as Father. It was sort of a new emphasis. And God is not just any Father. Specifically, he's the Father who hitches up his robe and runs to welcome a wayward son who had publicly disrespected him. While he was yet at a distance, his father saw him, had compassion. So we will have our scripture reading this morning from 1 Peter. And Steve is going to read that to us.
Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God.
Well, this passage says some more things about God. And the main thing we're going to focus on this morning is him choosing, that he chose Jesus Christ before the creation of the world. Wow. And so from that, Engineers might think of God as a great project planner, right? In Genesis 1, some have seen God as speaking to his heavenly council, the heavenly host. And that would explain saying, "Let us make man in our image." And so for those of us who have a corporate business background, it might be very easy to picture God as some kind of a chief executive with his board of trustees. Of course, that depends on what kind of corporation you have experience with, how easily it might be to picture that. But this morning, as a kind of sermon, we want to present a discussion, as we imagine it, between God, the chief executive, and one of his heavenly council. And somebody says, "Did he just say imagined it? What is that?" Now I'm going to have to go listen to a real sermon on TV when I get home. But two things. One, we're familiar with God's discussions with Abraham, Lot, Moses, Job. So this is going to have a familiar sound. And two, there will be a lot of the Word of God this morning. Some of it we will hear outright spoken, and some of it will be projected here on the screen. So we now have a dialogue between God, the chief executive, and his heavenly council.
"Consider my rebellious humans. From now, I am working to redeem back to me this fallen world. The world that is very good. The world that I love.
Lord, if I may ask it, did you see that fall coming?"
"I provide for all outcomes. This is one meaning of my name. I will be what I will be. I have chosen a nation to be my chosen people. It is through them that I will carry out the plan I made before the creation of this world."
"Have you considered Egypt? They're an advanced civilization. Look at their cities. Look at their monuments. They're a mighty nation with a powerful army. They would be an excellent choice."
"I've chosen Israel to be my people."
"Israel? They are no nation at all. They're slaves in Egypt. They're weak. They have forgotten the God of their fathers."
"It is not because they are a great nation that I have chosen them. It is because I love them that I have chosen them."
"Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercy's crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. With thy salvation enter every trembling heart. Breathe, oh breathe, thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit. Let us find thy promised rest. Take away the love of sinning. Take our load of guilt away. In the work of thy beginning, bring us to eternal day. Come Almighty to deliver, let us all thy life receive. Suddenly return and never, never for thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy host above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Finish then thy new creation, pure unspotted may we be. Let us see our whole salvation perfectly secured by thee. Changed from glory into glory, till in hand we take our place. Till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
I will give my chosen people, Israel, my law, and they will be a light to the nations.
Lord, have you considered a way to give your law to them? A trial period, say about 5 years. Then, if they are diligent in keeping your commands, you can free them from slavery in Egypt as a reward.
I will deliver them from slavery first, before anything else. Then I'll give them a land and I'll bless them in it.
Lord, will you raise up an army from among them or from elsewhere, an army to fight their way out of Egypt?
They will walk out of Egypt on their own feet. They will all walk out of the mightiest nation on earth. Then, when I give them my law, I will say to them as my first commandment, I am Yahweh, your God, who has brought you out of Egypt. You will have no other gods before me.
If you're able, please stand for this praise, song of praise.
Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. Praise him, all ye people. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever, forever and ever, ever and ever. Praise ye the Lord.
Be seated.
When they enter into the promised land, what if they say, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me? They may forget what you have done for them.
I will send them prophets to remind them of my word.
They are a stubborn people. What if they do not listen to your prophets?
My word will become flesh and live among them. I will make him the King of kings and the Lord of lords.
Yes, a mighty king to redeem Israel and rule the nations with a rod of iron, and who will set all things right.
But first, He will be poor.
How can a king be poor? What would be accomplished by a poor king?
What do the wealthy accomplish? What do those accomplish who trust in their own power? I will bless the poor, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the peacemakers. I will put my spirit in them. My word, my chosen, my anointed one, will be despised and rejected. And he will be cut off from his people.
Christ, we do all adore thee, and we do praise thee forever. Christ, we do all adore thee. For on the holy cross hast sin redeemed. Christ, we do all adore thee, and we do praise thee forever. Christ, we do.
How can these things be? How can Messiah succeed if he is killed?
I will rescue him from the grave. I will prolong his days. I will restore him from the dead. And not only that, he will be the firstborn from the dead. And starting from there, I will undo death itself. I will raise all the righteous from the dead. And I will redeem all of my creation.
Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him. Praise him, angels in the high. Sun and moon rejoice before him. Praise him, all you stars of light. Hallelujah, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. For he has spoken, worlds his mighty voice obeyed, laws which never shall be broken, for their guidance he hath made. Hallelujah, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, for he is glorious. Never shall his promise fail. God hath made his saints victorious. Sin and death shall not prevail. Hallelujah, amen, amen. Praise the God of our salvation. Host on high His power proclaim. Heaven, earth, and all creation. Lord, and magnify His name. Hallelujah, amen. Amen.
What is our response to a God who has made a way for us from the foundation of the world? Peter writes, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart." Our response to God is to love each other from the heart. God loved, so we love. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. And that is part of the story of God's new creation that we find all through the Bible. And really this entire business from start to finish this morning has been about the new creation. Born again, imperishable, living and enduring. The new creation is not something to happen someday. It started already in the work of Jesus Christ. And it's going on now. And we get a glimpse of it, a taste of the new creation as we eat together at the Lord's table. And there's plenty of scripture about that. We just can't read everything this morning. And so I wonder, you know, how much to explain. And over-explaining all this can sort of annoy some of us. It's not like we've never done it before. You don't really have to hold my hand. But under-explaining leaves some of us a little bit unsure. What am I supposed to do? I don't want to do this wrong. I got to be a parking attendant at a little volunteer function the other day. And it was very interesting, the range of people who came into the parking lot. There are people who want you to tell them, "Park right there." And they... And then there's most of us who are not quite like that. And then there are... "I do not see you. You are not there. I park where I want." But most of us, we would like three or four places shown to us in the general area, and we'll kind of pick one. So it's hard to strike that balance of explaining and over-explaining and under-explaining. But at times like this, I see a lot of the times in church, we just assume everybody understands what's going on and what we're going to do and what they're supposed to do or not do. And so once in a while, a little explanation is in order. And so sitting here this morning, as we are, we're not so formal. You know, when we're all facing the front and things are coming our way, we're a little bit formal. And now we'll be kind of looking at one another, and we won't be so formal. But that doesn't mean we're casual. So, you know, we don't want to be that. This isn't casual. And we're joyful. So you might hear people laugh. But that doesn't mean we're not serious. There's a joyful serious. This business of the kingdom of God is serious indeed, but it's with great joy. And being invited to the table of the Lord makes us respond with the greatest respect and gratitude. We look into our own hearts. We know this passage. We'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke. This is what we're going to do. We'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be eating the bread and we'll be drinking the cup. And the Bible says that when we do this, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until He comes. So that means proclaiming. We can talk to one another about it if we want to. about these disciples that are in the passage we're going to read, about the plan of God, and what all this has to do with communion. And of course, this is all in love. We never want to put anyone on the spot or embarrass anybody. So I'd like to ask you to select someone from your table to read from Luke's Gospel. There's a copy of that there on your table. And I'd like you to choose another person, or it could be the same one, to give thanks for the bread. And sometimes, what do I say? Well, there is a prayer written out there on the sheet if you would like to use it or not. And likewise, choose another third or the same person to give thanks for the cup. And again, there's a prayer on the paper there if you would like to use it. And if not, that's fine too. And think about this at the Lord's table. We've reserved some time for this, so we're going to savor it. And we're going to have a glimpse of what is to be. We have a taste of the new creation. And finally, there's a little work of art that some of us have seen before, but it's very helpful to illustrate the passage, I think. So as the word is read, we look at that and help us sort of picture those events that Luke writes about. And there's another copy that our younger or older kids might want to color if they haven't already. But that's on your page. It should be on your table as well. So let's eat and drink this time.
Read the gospel.